This program is made possible by the friends and partners of Unspeakable Joy.
This morning, I started last Sunday and will continue this Sunday on the name Yahweh, the great I Am. Notice in Exodus chapter 6 and verse number 3. And I appeared unto Abraham and Isaac and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. Now, brothers and sisters, what strikes you about verse number 3, about any of the words in that passage? The name Jehovah is what? All capitals. Now, if you were to flip back to Exodus chapter 3 and verse number 14 was the scripture that we read last Sunday. Exodus 3 and verse number 14. This is what the Bible says. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me. Now what strikes you in that verse? The I and the A and the M are capitalized. You see, that was Moses' way when he wrote down Exodus to connect the two names. The name I Am is the name Yahweh. It is the name Jehovah. Now, how do we get Yahweh and Jehovah? And I'm not going to bore you with all this because a lot of this just is what a bunch of theologians sit around and talk about to make themselves feel smarter. But basically what it is the name of God is the name Yahweh. But yet Jews in the Old Testament felt that that was so holy that they would not pronounce the name Yahweh. So what they did, there are no vowels in Hebrew. They're all consonants. Everything is a consonant. So what they would do, I want you to look at the name Yahweh again. And what they would do is they did not have an A and they did not have an E. Now, I'm not going to bore you with all this, but all of those vowels were put in by the Masoretics and when they wrote down the Hebrew text. Now, don't remember that. Don't think anything special about me. I read that off of Wikipedia like the rest of y'all going to read that off of Wikipedia. But what they did is they put those vowels in there. But in the Old Testament, that name would have been YHWH in the corresponding Hebrew letters. But a Jew felt that that name was so holy that they would not pronounce Yahweh. So what they did is they gave it a nickname or a pseudonym, and that nickname for Yahweh is Jehovah. And so whenever you hear somebody say Jehovah, or you hear somebody say I am, or you hear somebody say Yahweh, or you hear somebody say whatever you hear them say, those are all the names of God. Now look back, if you will, at chapter 6 and verse number 3. I want you to pay attention to something right here. Here's what the Bible says. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. That's El Shaddai. But watch this next phrase. But by, what's that next phrase? My name. What Moses was saying here in the book of Exodus, after the first interaction with Pharaoh, he's gone down to Pharaoh. He told Pharaoh exactly what God told him to tell him. He said, I want you to know, Pharaoh, that the I Am has sent me and has told me to tell you to let God's people go. Pharaoh looked at him and said, I don't know who that God is. I know all the gods of the Egyptian pantheon, but I don't know who this God of your father, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are. So you just get on out of here. And in fact, when you go, make sure you tell them that their load is about to get heavier, that their burden is about to get bigger. If they want to serve this unknown God, just let them know it's going to cost them something to serve that. And brothers and sisters, may I remind you that if you're really going to serve God in our day, it's not going to be some lipstick, some little lollipop, some little rainbow on the other side of a unicorn's gold pot. It's going to cost you something in 2022 to really serve God. How do I know that? Because when everybody else is going to go out and live like the devil, and you say, I'm sorry, I don't do that. I serve the God of the Bible. And he said, be ye holy, for I am holy. I'm not living like that. And they look at you, turn their nose up to you, and say, well, aren't you just some holy roller? Aren't you just some spiritual above everybody else? And here's what I love to say to people. They say, you're a holy roller. Honey, you bet your bottom dollar I'm a holy roller, because if I'm saved by the grace of God, I'm supposed to be holy. And if you're rolling, you're headed somewhere. That's exactly what I am. I'm living holy. I want to be holy. I want to live separate. And honey, I'm heaven bound with the hammer down. I couldn't go to hell if I wanted to. I'm on my way somewhere. So yes, I am different. And you are too if you're saved. It's going to cost you something. He goes back down there. He says, now folks, good news and bad news. Good news is I met with Pharaoh. Bad news is it didn't go so good. And those people said, what do you mean it didn't go so good? He said, well, your burden's getting ready to get heavier. Your load's getting ready to get heavier. But don't worry. Jehovah has said he's going to be there with you. And at that moment, at the mention of that name, peace must have flooded their heart. Overwhelming joy must have come over their soul, because we do not hear that they ever went back to Pharaoh and said, Pharaoh, no, we're not with old Booger Moses over there. We want an easier journey. They said, well, Moses, if it's going to cost us something, we know that it's worth paying the price, because Jehovah is with us. So there must be something about that name, Yahweh or Jehovah. And I started that last week. Let me give you three more things today, if you'll let me. Number one, when you think about the name Jehovah, number one, it is his straightforward name. It is the name that is no bones about it. Now, what does that mean? Here's what that means. You and I, if you live in this world and you have a job or you're a parent or you have children or something like that, you have a name, but yet more than your name, you got a bunch of titles. Your titles may be mom. Your title may be dad. Your title may be co-worker. Your title may be boss. Your title may be church member. But those are not your name. They are your description. Am I right about it? Yes, I'm exactly right about it. And that's the way it is with God. When you think about the name El Olam, the God of eternity, that's not his name. That is a description of God. When you think about Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner, that's not his name. That is a description. You see, you only have one name, and so does God. God. You know what his name is? Jehovah. Yahweh. Now, why does that matter? Well, I'm glad you asked me this morning, because whenever you see somebody's name, it means one of two things. Number one, the only time that you, if you're a big wheel, I mean, if you're really up there, if you've got some authority, you've got some position, everybody around you is going to use your title, except in two situations. Number one, when it comes time to sign a contract. Whenever you get ready to sign a contract, you don't sign it with your title. Nobody ever goes to buy a house and says, Ma is going to buy this house. They look at you and say, Ma, who the blessed cuss is Ma? Can you imagine going in and buying a vehicle and signing the name Reverend on the title? You don't do that. Why? Because they are declaring, when you sign your name, you are saying, I am putting my reputation on the line and my name means something. I know we're in 2022 and everybody just lies about anything, but God ain't that way. Whenever God uses his name, it means something. So here's what Moses does. He goes out there into the land of Pharaoh and he says, Pharaoh, let God's people go. And the Pharaoh says, I'm not doing it. And their burden got harder and their load got heavier and they got more in bondage and more oppression. I imagine they probably said something like this. They said, I thought it was supposed to get easier serving God. I thought God was going to deliver us, but it's getting harder. And Brother Moses stood back there. He kindly scratched his head and got his staff in his hand. And they said, Brother Moses, I thought you said God was going to come through. I thought you said God was going to answer his His promise. I thought you said God was going to do, but it's getting harder. I believe Moses looked at them and said, brothers and sisters, I don't know about how hard it's a getting. I don't know how rough it's a getting, but I know this. God put His name on the line and He's going to deliver you. Why does that matter? Because there's another place that God wrote His proper name on your life. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse number 9, 10, and 11. Look at what 1 Corinthians 6, 9, 10, and 11 says. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Boy, that sounds like a pretty close group of people that are going to make it into heaven. Because I'm going to be honest, I know my life and I know some of your lives, and it ain't looking good for some of us, but I want you to notice what the next verse says. It says, and such were some of you. But ye are washed, ye are sanctified, and ye are justified by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's what I'm telling you. One day you're going to get to heaven, and whoever is standing at the gate is going to look at you, and they're going to say, what gives you the right to come in to the glorious city of Jehovah? And you're going to look at them and going to say, well, I think maybe, well, maybe. And they're going to say, wait a second, let me read some things. Were you an extortioner? Were you a liar? Were you a fornicator? Were you a drunk? Were you a homosexual? Were you an adulterer? And people are going to hang their head low. And he'll say, were you a sinner? And they'll hang their head low. But at the bottom of it, this is what they'll say. They'll look at the contract of your soul, and written at the bottom of the contract of your soul, it's not going to say Lord of Lords. It's not going to say King of Kings. It's not going to say Alpha and Omega. But honey, the day you got born into the family of God, good God in heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, He took the contract of your soul and He took His name. He took the pen of omnipotence. He dipped it down the quill of mightiness. He dipped it down in the ink of His blood. He wrote it upon the parchment of eternity and signed on your name, Jesus Christ. So honey, one day I'm going to stand at the gate and my sins won't be remembered. My adultery may not be remembered. My drunkenness may not be remembered. Homosexuality may not be remembered. And that's why when you stand there and when I stand there, I'm going to say, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. And when I get to heaven, it's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that lets me get in. Honey, I promise there's people in this room right now, you're going to get to heaven, you're going to say, I was a Baptist. He's going to say, I don't know anything about Baptist. You're going to say, I was a Methodist. He's going to say, I don't know anything about Methodist. You say, I'm a Pentecostal. You say, I don't know anything about Pentecostals. You'll get to heaven, you'll say, I got baptized. He'll say, that don't mean nothing up here. You're going to say, I gave money. He's going to show you the cattle on 1,000 hillsides, all the rubies and diamonds there, and he's going to say, what's your money mean to me? But then some poor little pauper is going to come a-walking by. Tighten my belt. And going to come by, and he's going to have tattered, torn little shoes. He's going to have holes in his clothes. His hands are going to have dirt up under the fingernail. And he's going to bow and he's going to say, Father, I don't have anything to give. But when I was a young man, I was a little boy, I was an old man, I bowed before the Lord Jesus Christ and I asked Him to save my soul. And I come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And may I remind somebody this morning, if you've been saved by the grace of God, it does not matter what your yesterday look like. It does not matter what your yesterday has functioned like. You've been washed, you've been redeemed, you've been justified, you've been sanctified and glorified by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when He signs your soul, He signed Jesus. But I got to think about something else. I better loosen my belt. I'm about to suffocate. You know, the only other person in my life, a lot of people call me preacher. A lot of people call me pastor. My children call me daddy. My mother calls me son. My mother-in-law ain't gonna tell you what she calls me, but it ain't Tyler. But just a very few people call me by my name. And you know what they're called? My friends. Beloved, do you know who God lets call him by their name, by his name? His friends. But can I give you one better? There's another group of people that call me by my name. You think my wife walks around my house, Aaron, calling me Reverend? She called me a jackleg one time, but I ain't gonna say what else followed. You know what she calls me? She calls me by my proper name. You know why? She's my family. Can I ask you a question? What kind of privilege do you have when you bow on your knees and pray before the God of eternity? It would be one thing if you could look him in the eyes and say, "Oh, most high and eternal God, Elohim of the universe." He would be worthy of that. But when he comes and we pray, this is what he says. He says, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, I will give it unto you." Do you know why? Because John 1 and 12 says this, "And as many as are led by the Spirit, they have been become the sons of God." Watch this next phrase. "Even to them that believe on his name." The day I got saved, honey, I didn't get placed. I didn't get placed on the Christmas list. I didn't get placed on the friends list. I'll tell you what I did. Honey, I got the heavenly holy genie pass like they give you at Disney World, and I skipped to the front of Abraham's line. I skipped to the front of Isaac's line. I've got a position David never had. I've got a position Elijah never had. I've got a position Elisha never had. I've got a position Adam never had. I've got a position Solomon never had. Good God in heaven. I've got a position that Mary never had. I've got a position that Aaron and Miriam and all the rest never had. You know what I am? I'm the son of the Most High God, and he is my father. He is my kinsman. He is my redeemer. He is my family, and that's why I can pray and ask whatsoever I will in the name. It's a straightforward name. Number two, it's not just a straightforward name, but it is a strengthening name. Now I want you to look back, if you will, at chapter number 3 of this same book. Chapter 3, verse number 1. Chapter 3 and verse 1 of the book of Exodus. Now I want to show you something. Exodus 3 and verse number 1. "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock out to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to" what? Horeb. Remember that name. When Moses met God and heard that name, he met him on Mount Horeb. You ready? I want you to look, don't flip there, but I want you to look at chapter 3 and verse number 12. Chapter 3, verse number 12. "And he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee, that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God on this mountain." Don't jump, stay with me. Here's what God said. Moses met God on Mount Horeb. He said, "Go get the people, and when you bring them out, bring them to Mount Horeb," this mountain, right? Now we know that God did that. They cross over the Red Sea, they go out. Moses goes back to that mountain, up to the top of that mountain for 40 days and 40 nights, and the people of God make out of gold a what? A calf. You remember that story? They make the golden calf. Does anybody remember the name of that mountain? Let me show you in Psalm 106 and verse number 19. The Bible says, "They made a calf in Horeb." Here's the problem. When you read the rest of the book of Exodus, the name Horeb is not used. It's called Mount Sinai. You remember that? Mount Sinai. So then Horeb and Sinai are the different name for the same. You with me? Don't leave me now. You with me? So there's got to be something that God was trying to teach by calling the same mountain by different names. Then I looked up the meaning of those names. Let me show you the meaning of the name Horeb. The name Horeb in the Hebrew, it literally means the desert, the dryness. Now, in the desert, what dries stuff out? The what? The sun. Now, that didn't impress me. I wasn't going in the same direction until I looked up the name Sinai. The name Sinai, it comes from a word which is the root word for the foreign god Sin or Sin. That's Sinai. Do you know what Sin was? He was the god of the moon. Time out. Can I show you something? When you look in Islam, on the flags of Islamic countries, you know what you'll see? A moon. A crescent moon. You see, they say they're serving Allah. You know who they're really serving? They're serving Sin, the god of the ancient Canaanites. That's neither here nor there. Now watch this. God revealed himself on Horeb, the place of sun. He revealed himself by his name on Sinai, the place of moon. Question. Y'all ready? They're not with me. I'm going to talk to y'all. You with me? When does the sun shine? In the what? The day. When does the moon shine forth? In the what? You know what God was trying to tell Moses? He said, Moses, whether you get up on this place and you're on the mountain and the sun is shining bright, I want you to know I'm still God and I'm still with you. But Moses, you're not always going to be in the place where the sun is shining. You're not always going to be in the place where it's bright. You're not always going to be where you can see things. There's going to be times when you get to Sinai. And if you read about Mount Sinai in the book of Exodus, it was not a good place. Nothing good ever happened at the base of Mount Sinai. He said to Moses, I want you to understand something, son. Whether the sun is shining and you're on top of Mount Horeb, or whether you're down and get to Sinai and it's dark and the moon is shining, I want you to understand something. I am still God and I am still in control and everything's still gonna be okay. I want to remind some little saint of God this morning that's on the valley, that's in that place where it is not shining and you don't know where God's at and you don't know which way to turn and you don't know which way is up and it feels like the whole world's falling apart. The same God that was God when the sun was shining and the same God that was God when it was bright outside, the same God is still God in the darkness when it is not shining. Now here's what I thought about, oh God in heaven. This is what I thought about to encourage the people of God. I know you're sitting here right now and you're saying, Brother Tyler, it's dark out in my life. The sun is not shining. I feel like all I see is darkness. Here's what I got to thinking about. Can you imagine when the moon came out in that desert? I believe Brother Moses looked up and said, God, I don't understand. I don't see the sunshine. I don't see the light. I don't see the brightness. I don't know what I'm going to do. Here's what I wanted to remind you of. Even though you cannot see the sun, that does not mean that it is not still shining. You know why you can't see it? I'll tell you why. Because your world has been turned around. You've got on the backside of this thing. But may I remind you of this, the same God that turns the earth is the same God that if you'll give him enough time and give him enough space and give him enough power and give him enough of your attention, the world, it will turn around again. I'm talking to somebody that's in the valley of discouragement. I'm talking to somebody that's in the valley of anxiety. I'm talking to somebody that's in the valley of divorce. I'm talking to somebody that's in the valley of single motherhood, single fatherhood. You give God time, give him space, and the sun will shine again. But whether it shines today, whether it doesn't shine today, the same God that's God when it's shining is the same God that's God when it's not shining. The God of the sun is still God of the moon. Are you ready for this one? Every now and again, God will put a moon in your life. Now watch this. Contrary to your children's opinion and your uncle that lives in Kentucky, moon don't shine. You'll get that after a while. The moon don't shine. Moon ain't got no light. But you got your eyes on. You know what the moon does, how it has light? It reflects the sun. Sometimes you'll get in a place that's so dark, that's all you've got. My son, we're riding down the road the other day, and he looks at me, he said, "That's waning." And I thought, "Son, that is not how you pronounce rain." I said, "You're 11 years old, it ain't waning, it's raining. And by the way, it's sun, it ain't no..." And the sun was going down, and he looked, he said, "No, that thing's waning. It'll be gibbous soon. And after it's gibbous, it'll be crescent. After crescent, it'll be something else." I thought, "Who are you? And what are you talking about?" He said, "Dad, don't you know anything?" I said, "Evidently not." I said, "Educate me," is what he said. He said, "That moon will shine real bright. And then it'll get less big. And then it'll get less big." I'm giving you the Mason version now. He said, "Then it'll get less big. And then it'll get to where it's just a little crescent." He said, "And if you're not careful, you'll think the sun's not shining. It'll go black." He said, "But can I tell you something, Daddy? Whether you see the moon or not, the sun is still shining. Son, I put my foot on that 5.7 liter. I pumped that thing headed down." Y'all seen that guy watching that road rage on TV? That could have been me. I can't prove it, but that might have been me. I got so blessed sitting there thinking about that, and I've been waiting to get to the house of God this morning to remind you whether you can see a little bit of light, whether you can see a whole bunch of light, or whether it's just bleak and black in your soul. The same God is still God. He's still in control. He's still in charge, and it's going to be okay no matter where you're at. You know why? Because I know His name. I'll give you one more, and I'll close my Bible just to prove I'm done. Number three, it's a simplified name. Now stay with me. Don't leave me. Because if you'll get this, I taught this to a group of people about 7 years ago. And there weren't but about 5 or 10 people that night. I teach this to my groups when we go to Israel. The names of God that have been revealed, El Shaddai, El Olam, El Elyon, El Ohim, El. You'll notice something when you say those. Say the name El. Say it. El. It requires the use of your tongue. Now here's the problem. If you read Exodus chapter 4, this is what Moses said. Moses said, "God, I can't go because I'm slow of speech." He had a stutter. And he was going to be the problem. He was going to get down there before the children of Israel, and he was going to look at the children of Israel, and they're going to say, "Who sent you?" And he said, "As soon as I start telling them," he said, "I'm going to start stuttering. And he's not going to believe me." He said, "God, I can't go." And God said, "I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you a name that does not require the use of your tongue. I want you to know my name, Yahweh." Now say that. It won't use your tongue. You ready? Yahweh. Here we go. Yah. You know the only thing it takes? Breath. God said, "No matter who you are, you can know me." Now, you ready for this? When you breathe, I read this in a Jewish commentary one day, years and years ago. You realize every time you inhale and exhale, you speak the name of God. You ready? Listen. That's why Psalm 150 says, "Let everything that hath breath praise the..." What's the first thing a baby does when it comes out of the womb? They slap that baby and it does what? First thing a child does when it's born, it says the name of God. And when somebody dies, you know the last thing they do before they leave this earth? They speak the name of God. You do realize there are no atheists. There are just people that refuse to believe. Because all it takes is listening to yourself breathe to realize there is a God. You say, I don't believe it. Then you take your chances breathing in God's air and speaking His name and not believing in Him. Here's what I'll say. He said all that to get to this point. He said, I want everybody that breathes that name to know it doesn't matter if you've got the power to speak or the power not to speak. If you can breathe, you can know Me. And I've come to you this morning to remind you of one thing. I don't care how much money you've got. I don't care about your social standing. I don't care about your divorce status. I don't care about who you are or where you've been. If you are alive, you are a candidate to know the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're breathing today, you are a candidate to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm so sick and tired of the devil convincing people that people have gone too far to get saved and gone too far to get right with God. I remind you, if you're still breathing air, you can call upon the name of Jesus Christ. Help me, son. And that one name, Moses gets down before Pharaoh. He says, God, how can I tell that man, the most powerful man in the world, to let him go? You know what God said? You don't have to do anything. Just let Me be God. Let Me be God. Are you ready? Do you know what the Holy Spirit is typified in the Bible? Breath. In order to know God, all you've got to do is let the Holy Spirit have His way. You see, right now in this pew, the Spirit of God's drawing somebody to say yes to Jesus. You say, what do I do? That resisting, that pushing back you're doing. No, I can't. No, that's not true. No, I won't go. No. If you'll just let God be God, you'd be amazed at what will happen. You can be saved today. Today could be the glad day of your salvation. Today could be the glad day that you know Jesus Christ. Every child of God right now, whether you're on the mountain peak or whether you're in the deepest, darkest valley, you be reminded of one truth. God is still God. I don't care what a liberal says. I don't care what a theologian says. I don't care what a preacher says. All I know is what that book says. And what saith that book is what I choose to believe and what I know to be the fact. And the fact and the truth is this, that there is still a God in heaven. Although man has turned aside and although man has rejected His name and His way, He is still God. And you can trust in Him. What do I do, preacher? Come unto Me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest.